A couple of things on the Yankees, because they made a few very under-the-radar deals. Remember, I guess it was Thursday or Friday, someone called in and said, who's the odd man out of the Yankee bullpen? And based on need and performance, Chasen Treve made the most sense. Well, he didn't have any options, so they needed to deal him, and that's what they did. They moved him and Giovanni Gallegos to the Cardinals. They got Luke Voit, fine, but they got international money. They also dealt another kid, a minor league left-hander, who is going to have to be added to the 40-man roster at the end of the season for even more international money. And in such a coincidence, the Yankees signed Osiel Rodriguez, the number one international pitching free agent out there. So the Yankees, while competing for a championship, while fixing any 40-man roster issues, added international money, and they signed the guy. And I mentioned this about the Mets. I'm not inconsistent. I do find value in adding international money. I do. The difference with the Mets situation is that they traded Jairus Familia. They didn't trade Giovanni Gallegos and Chasen Treve, guys that, you know, I don't think have the same value as Jairus Familia. So I would have wanted more. That's all I'm saying. The Mets traded Asdrubal Cabrera, and in that deal, they actually got back a pretty good prospect, Franklin Quilome from the Philadelphia Phillies. The Phillies have a good farm system, and Quilome is ranked, I think, as the eighth or ninth best prospect, double-A pitcher. Fine on the value, but because I don't trust the Mets, nor should I am skeptical when I see that they did not pick up any portion of the contract. So I'm not saying it's a bad trade. I didn't say that. But because I don't trust the Mets, nor should I am skeptical when I see that none of the money was picked up. But under-the-radar deals, moves for the Yankees as they add the international money. They continue to be active in that department because, hey, in this day and age, you got to keep that farm system going, not only develop young, cheap players that can help you win, but also potential chips you may be able to use down the road to make a big deal. And the Yankees did it by signing this kid, Osiel Rodriguez. Now, quickly on the Hall of Fame. So I was never a big fan of the politician John Kerry. I do thank him for his service, obviously, as a Vietnam War man. But I didn't love his presidential campaign. But there was, I'm about to compliment him, okay? So calm down for anyone who loves Senator Kerry, or former Senator Kerry. He had one really good line, though, at his Democratic National Convention speech. And it wasn't when he said, reporting to duty. You know, that was dumb. And I would not have written that out there. I think it made him look like a buffoon. But he had one very good line, whether you agree with it or not, it was a really powerful line. He said, Mr. President, just because you say there are weapons of mass destruction doesn't mean there are weapons of mass destruction. I thought that was a powerful line. Whether you agree with it or not is irrelevant. I'm thinking as the, just an observer of politics. It was really good, and I love that line. And the reason I love that line is just because you say something doesn't mean it's true. It's powerful, right? Just because you say something over and over and over again doesn't mean it's true. Just because you say over and over again that Jack Morris was this incredible money pitcher and is clearly a Hall of Famer because he was the best pitcher of the 80s, just because you say it, John Heyman, doesn't mean it's true. Just because you repeatedly say he was a money pitcher, he was a money pitcher, he was a money pitcher, and no doubt he had some great postseason starts, including maybe the best pitched game in World Series history, doesn't mean the sample size of 13 starts says it's true. His career ERA, 3.90. His career ERA in the postseason, 3.80. So just because you repeat the same thing over and over and over and over and over and over again doesn't make it fact. I congratulate Jack Morris because it's a great honor to get to the Hall of Fame, but I'm sorry, I'm never going to bend on this. I look at his numbers, but you didn't see him. Okay, fine. I look at his numbers, I don't see a Hall of Famer. I see a guy that was really good, though. I do. I see a good pitcher. No question. I see a guy that's going to be written in baseball history forever because of maybe the best pitch game we ever saw in a World Series. No doubt about that. I don't see a Hall of Famer. With that said, congratulations. He's a Hall of Famer. I mean, I'm not going to take the moment away from him. I'm just going to give you my opinion as a fan. That's all. But very powerful line. So even though he really didn't turn out to be the greatest presidential candidate, I always found that line powerful. I thought that was pretty good. I think you can use that in a lot of walks of life. Just because you say something over and over and over again, I'm sure you probably think about that, about things I say. Just because I say over and over and over again something doesn't mean it's true. You're right. So you can keep repeating it, John Heyman. You can keep telling me. What was his tweet yesterday? Jack Morris never refused to take the baseball in a big spot. Who has? Who has? was. What pitcher said, no, 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 man, that's too big of a spot, bro. I can't take that ball. What is that? That's your excuse for why he's a Hall of Famer? I got to find that tweet. And listen, you know I'm going to bust on John when we talk to him, whether it's tomorrow or whatnot. I got to find that from yesterday. That just made me laugh so much. What does that mean? Because what's he going to do? I don't want the ball, man. Get me out of here.
You know a guy's not a Hall of Famer when they're looking for stuff like that to say about him.
Who's that?
About Jack Morris.
Oh, about Jack Morris, you're saying. Yeah. No, I get it. I guess that's why it's said. I don't know.
How about Trammell?
I don't think he's a Hall of Famer either.
Neither do I.
No, the other guys are. You know, Jim Tomey is, Chipper definitely, Vlad is. And I wanted to watch the speeches, so I went on YouTube to try to find them. And the speech I actually wanted to hear the most was Vladimir, because I was so curious I've never heard his voice. Has anyone ever heard Vladimir Guerrero talk? And he did do it in Spanish, had an interpreter. I thought it was great that he thanked Montreal, because I was a little annoyed realizing that he's going in as an Angel. He should be going in as an Expo. I know the Expos don't exist, but I kind of find it cool in a way if you go in as an Expo. And who knows, maybe the Expos will be back. You know, maybe they'll return a decade from now and Vladimir Guerrero can proudly have that Montreal logo on his hat. He was more of an Expo than he was an Angel. That's all I'm saying. Was it relatively close? Sure. It was relatively close. It was Piazza met Dodger close. Piazza was a Dodger. The reason why I'm good with Piazza going in as a Met was the World Series. Vladimir doesn't have that with the Angels. What does he have? Hitting .220 in the postseason? I hate to take a shot at Vlad because I loved him, but I mean, you want to be honest? He was not a great postseason player.
Piazza has a terrible relationship with the Dodgers now.
What was that?
Piazza has a terrible relationship with the Dodgers.
That shouldn't matter.
I think it does in that he probably didn't want to go in as a Dodger.
And Vladimir didn't want to go in as an Expo, but that should not matter is all I'm saying.
If it's close, it should.
I think it was well, the tie break, and I know Yankee fans will probably say, you're just saying you should go in as a Met because you're a Met fan. No, I'm honest about it. I've even said I wouldn't have retired Piazza's number. I'm very picky about numbers that are being retired. I just thought because he was in a World Series, I think that he became, in a way, the face of the team. And I never really felt that way about Vladimir Guerrero there. I mean, he was in the playoffs with the Angels, never with the Expos. I get it. But they didn't get to World Series. The furthest they got was to an ALCS, I think twice maybe. Actually, he wasn't a World Series because he was on Texas. But that wasn't the Angels. So my point is still correct. He was in a World Series, yes, but that wasn't with the team he put the hat on of the Angels. But good for Vladimir. Terrible postseason player. But great hitter, really was. He was a joy to watch when he wasn't, you know, throwing guys out at third base at Shea Stadium as an Expo.
How about the thing I sent you about Tomei yesterday?
What about him?
About how he, weeks before the ceremony, flew to Cooperstown, had them set up a whole fake podium like a practice.
Yeah, that's cool. No, I like that. That's cool. And supposedly Jim Tomei had a great speech. I'm going to check it out tonight. So I'm going to check out the speeches tonight. I only saw Vladimir's because I was curious. But here's the real fun thing about the Hall of Fame. You start thinking about next year. You start thinking about, oh, okay, what do we have next year? Now, besides the guys that are already on the ballot, here are your newbies for 2019. We have Lance Berkman. And I'll tell you this about Lance Berkman. You hear his name and you say, nah, he's not a Hall of Famer. Guy had a very good career. Is he a Hall of Famer? No, I would not vote for him. But he had some really good seasons with the Houston Astros. He had 6 100 RBI seasons. He had 6 30 home run seasons. With that said, my first view of him, not a Hall of Famer, but very good baseball player, no doubt about it. Roy Halladay is obviously the other one, the late Roy Halladay. And my view on Doc Halladay jumps out as a Hall of Famer because and maybe he isn't when you look at the numbers. I mean, just giving you that first reaction I have. Is a guy that for a good 4-year period was the best pitcher in baseball and was doing things, I like to say, he put the bold out on Baseball Reference. Bold is when you lead the league. And what he would do every year, and this is something I'm certainly biased on, is that he would complete games. This guy would average 9 complete games a year. He completed 9 games in a season 4 times, 8 once, 7 once. He had 67 complete games. I get it if you are of the era of the 60s and 70s, you scoff at that, but in this era, it was pretty good. Won 200 games, if you care about wins, had a 3.3 ERA, which went a tick up because the last 2 years he lost it real quick. But I would say He had 7 Hall of Fame years. So he jumps out at me. Won the Cy Young twice. He jumps out at me as a yes. Todd Helton is also very interesting because of the fact he played at Coors Field. There's going to be that natural negative reaction to him. But, and Joe brought this up a couple of weeks ago, right out of the gate about Todd Helton. He said, because we were talking about guys who struggle away from Coors Field, and he said, Todd Helton was pretty good away from Coors Field, wasn't he? And we looked it up, and he was. He wasn't as good as he was at Coors Field, obviously, but he was a good player on the road. Hit 372 one year, a career 316 hitter. That's a test of Coors Field right there. That is an ultimate test of Coors Field. Derek Lowe? Nope. Darren Oliver? Nope. Roy Oswalt? Had some very good years, but my gut would say no. Andy Pettit? Sorry, Yankee fans. Very good pitcher. Hall of very good. But then again, Jack Morris is in, so what the hell do I know? But Andy Pettit, short. Juan Pierre? No. Trust me, guys. I'm getting to it. Miguel Tejada? No. Kevin Youkilis? No. Michael Young? No. And then you have yourselves a lock. You have yourself a guy who is such a legend, there will never be another one like him. 100% of the vote? No. I don't think anybody deserves 100% of the vote. But this is a guy, and I believe this. This is why, to me, he's a bigger legend than Jeter. I really believe that. I don't think we're ever going to see anything like it. And I know I'm going to tell stories to my son and my grandchildren someday, and those stories about this guy are going to become bigger than they ever were. In a way, he was Babe Ruth for relief pitchers. Am I going too far? Maybe I am. I thought he was that brilliant. And I'm talking, of course, about Mariano Rivera. And a part of why Mariano Rivera is so utterly brilliant is when he's pitching at 43 and he's still pitching to a 2 ERA and saving 44 games, we never really saw him become a human. He was always a machine. And I'll just throw this in there. We try to put our son to sleep by rocking him to bed. Trust me, Dove, this is going somewhere. And my wife, you know, a lot of times gets him to go to sleep, but I have this trick. Like, as soon as I walk in there, after she rocks him for a little bit of time, I go in there and I close it out. I go in there. It's obvious where I'm going now. I go in there. I take Jed. I rock him. He's done. So you know what I start doing when I walk into his bedroom? I know you don't have it queued up. You know what I start doing when my wife signals down and says, Ev, I need some help? We enter Sandman, and I play Mariano's theme song. And after I put him to sleep after 2 minutes, I walk downstairs, and my wife gives me a look because she knows who Mo is, but not as well as everybody. And I say, you just call me Mariano Rivera because I just closed it out. He's a legend. Mariano Rivera is one of the great players that I'll always tell stories about. As a baseball fan, there's a lot of great players, but then they're legends, right? There's great players. Oh, that guy was great. Then there are legends, and he was a legend. And so 100% is too much, but next year's Hall of Fame ceremony is about one guy, and it's about Mariano Rivera. And congratulations to Trevor Hoffman, Hall of Famer. Come on now. He can't shine the shoes. And that's no disrespect. Guy had a great career. It's not a knock on him. It's a compliment to Mariano. You can't shine the shoes of Mo, because I'm going to give you this number as we go to break. And maybe we'll play Enter Sandman at some point if we're contractually allowed to. Mariano Rivera appeared in 96 playoff games. 96. You know what his career playoff ERA was? It's sick. 0.70. So you say something enough, it becomes fact. No, this is fact. Have we ever seen a guy do that in the postseason? And by the way, that's a sample size. 96 games? That's a sample size. That's more than any year you're ever going to have. The most appearances Mariano Rivera ever had in a regular season was in the 70s, 74, back in 2004. So that sample size is beyond the full season. Not quite a season and a half, but it's not that far off. 0.70. 141 innings in the postseason. 141. You know how many home runs he allowed? 2! And one of them was to Jay Payton. I remember that in the World Series. It was meaningless. Didn't mean anything. Hit it to right field in the corner to pull the Mets within one. And then Kurt Abbott came up and struck out on 3 pitches. Mariano was like, all right, cool. You got your little home run. Now I'm striking you out. So next year's Hall of Fame class is about one man, the legend known as Mariano Rivera.